call the May 8, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call roll.
Ms. Lucas?
Here.
Mrs. Himes?
Here.
Mr. Bournes?
Here.
Ms. Cundy?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Sino's here. We have a quorum.
All righty. Has everyone had a chance to review our April 10th, 2014 board meeting minutes? I'll take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any board members need to disclose any ex parte communications?
Yes. Case number 2 in continued cases, the neighbor of the defendant in this case called me, and I expressed the fact that I couldn't really talk to her about it, and told her she should call other people, and that's it. I don't think it will affect my judgment.
Okay. Any other disclosures? All righty. Madam Secretary, any announcements?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. We do have a few cases that are in compliance that aren't reflected on the agenda.
Always good to hear.
Yes. Number 1 in continued cases, CEB 10-13-114 for 65 River Dunes Drive is in compliance as of May 7th. Number 7, case number CEB 04-14-45 for 502 North Halifax Avenue, a.k.a. 209 Oak Ridge, is in compliance as of May 7th. Number 8, CEB 011404 for 604 Casson Avenue is in compliance as of today, May 8th.
Wow.
And then on page 6, we have number 24 for CEB 051453 for 345 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard for compliance May 7th. And number 27, CEB 051457 for 348 San Juan Avenue is compliance as of May 7th. I believe that is all the announcements, other than Mr. Newell had said he had a prior conflict this morning. I don't think we'll have a problem waiting for him, because I don't anticipate getting to his case before he gets here, but if we happen to, he had asked if we can move him to the end.
Okay. Let us know when we get to it, if we get to it, and I don't remember that name.
Thank you.
All righty. Any, Madam Secretary, if you would swear in all staff members that will be testifying today, please. Everyone who comes forward to testify today, we ask that you speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. Any attorneys present today for any of our cases? All righty, we will take our lien reviews first. First lien review is lien review number 1, CB 0504143, property located at 501 White Street, William Howell and Robert Griggers. The respondent is present. Your name, sir?
William Howell.
Okay, Mr. Howell, if you'll give us your property address, and what else do we need, Amy?
Just to raise his right hand.
Raise your right hand. Give us your property address. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
501 White Street.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. If you can use that microphone, please, sir. Okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, I'm here. Good. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson. Oh, this isn't very good, is it? Okay, how about that?
Yeah.
All right. Better? Yes, how about that? Ooh. Let me sing a little. No. This is Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city. Counsel to the Code Enforcement Board. This isn't going to work. All right. Let's try that. Okay. Test, test. Okay, that's better. Yes. Anthony Jackson, counsel for the city. And on lien review number one, 501 White Street. I spoke with the staff on this. The staff is willing to reduce this lien to $500. Looking even from the letter from Mr. Howell himself, dated April 18, 2014, he acknowledges that he was working on it and that he had submitted plans, and just times got tough, and that's all understandable. And so we're willing to reduce it down to just the you know, the cost of having to manage and monitor the case. So $500, we believe, is a reasonable reduction.
Okay. Mr. Howell, do you accept the city's reduction of $500?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just want to add one thing to it. To add insult to injury, after all we've done with this case, we came down last night. We actually, the church next door, for some, if you are familiar with the property, the church next door is actually buying the piece of property from us, and we had to get this cleared up. We'd left the driveway all this time because we'd hoped that sometime we'd build a house. Well, when the church bought it, then we got to clean the lien up. So anyway, last night the city council had the final approval for a special use permit, so everything's good. So now we just got to clean this up. Me and Mr. Griggers, that are partners on the property, went by the house last night on our way into town to come to the hearing to get a few tools that we had in the building, and got stuck. Now the driveway's gone. We got stuck, and so $75 later, we're here this morning. So
gotcha.
So we're happy with the $500. I got one question though, just a clerical thing. We're in town, and we both live out of town, so we'd like to clear this thing up. Can we pay this? How do we go about paying this fine and getting all that clear?
Once the board takes action, they will direct you on what you can do to make payment.
Okay. All right.
All right. That's the recommendation to the board. Now it's up to the board whether or not to accept the recommendation from staff.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Did you have anything else you wanted to present? We do not want to slight you from that opportunity.
No, the fine's going to be the total fine.
City's recommendation is to reduce the fine to $500.
The
staff's recommendation is to reduce the lien to $500.
To $500, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We're good with that. Thanks.
Okay. And I'm going to make sure I heard you correct. You're able to pay that more or less within 30 days?
We'd like to pay it while we're here this morning.
Okay. All righty. Questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion reducing the lien amount to $500 payable within 30 days. Motion made by Ms. Himes.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Staff will get with you as far as how to make that payment, Mr. Howell, so that we can take care of this. And congratulations on the pending sale of the property. Lien review number 2050629, property located at 116 and 116 and a half North Keach Street. Property owner Earl McCrary and JKM Properties. Is the respondent present? You can come forward, sir. State your name.
Good morning. My name is Earl McCrary.
All right, Mr. McCrary, we'll get you sworn in shortly. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond once the city presents their case.
Mr. McCrary, raise your right hand.
Yes.
You solemnly swear from the testimony that you give the truth and the truth shall be
done. Yes, I did.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Jackson? That's okay. Mr. Sino, swarm in, Amy.
Oh, you
see me? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, this is an add-on, so we just had to just take a brief moment to discuss it. When I say add-on, sometimes we add a few late in the agenda. Again, this is Anthony Jackson. On this case, and I remember this case as well as Mr. McCrary. And on this case, the city is recommending reduction of the fine to 15%. And just my basic recollection and my review in the file itself was that this was a case where the original landowners It was a difficult situation with, I think, stairs and some other things that, and it took a long time. And it was some great frustration, I believe, initially, and Mr. McCray can correct me later if I'm wrong, but I believe initially Mr. McCray was working with the family as a contractor, and then ultimately he purchased it from them. And I think within 3, maybe 4 months from the time he got involved, it came into compliance. I guess the biggest problem for Mr. McCray, and as you can see, he was hit with a very hard fine. It was $500 a day fine. And that's because, one, the case took so long, mm-hmm. and Mr. McCray was kind of involved probably, like I say, 6 or 7 months back into it, even though he didn't, he became owner within the last 3 or 4 months. But in addition to that, the you see a compliance date of February. In the December meeting, Mr. McCray, looking at the minutes, said, indicated that he'd be done in about 2 weeks. And unfortunately, he didn't get done in those 2 weeks. And then in the January meeting, no one appeared. And so, as I said, the board hit him, or whoever was the case was before, hit him pretty hard. It appears to have been the board. And ultimately, as you see, with a $500 fine, it took him a month, but it accrued to the maximum. And so we're asking for a reduction to the 10% to $1,500.
Mr. McCrary, do you object to that reduction?
I would like further consideration to it. I'd like to give you a little bit more history.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
To the property. This was located at 116 North Key Street. It was a property that's an eyesore to the neighborhood. I grew up a half a block from here, and it was a Good Samaritan intent in order to clean up the neighborhood. It was owned by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Pouncey, and the property was in good order. The building were in good shape. It's the people that were living there that were bad. So driving to the property every day, I would pass it because of the street that I grew up on. I says, you know, we got to clean this up. I can leave it to someone else to buy it, or I can buy it and fix it myself. So my intent was to purchase the property, clean up the property, run off the riffraff, and make it a better property for the neighborhood, because it's right off of the city thoroughfare, right off of International as you turn to go north on Keats Street. So I asked Mr. Pouncey. I was actually in this particular, I was in a meeting for another case, and I saw Mr. Pouncey then. I knew it was a problem, and I said, this is my only opportunity to speak to this gentleman to try to purchase the property so I can fix it. At that point, I just wanted the drug problems to leave the neighborhood. So I purchased the property pretty much at that point. I did not know that there were liens on the property that go back to 2006, I believe. Mr. Neumeier had indicated that the building should be demolished. I had an architect take a look at the building. The building was a fine building. It's a solid building. The stairwell was dilapidated and needed to be repaired. So I purchased the building. I didn't care about the stairwell. I just wanted the people to leave the neighborhood. So I purchased the property, and obviously at that point I picked up some of the liens based upon the purchase. And at that point, once I was notified, once the purchase was taken place and I got a clean title to it at that point, pending the liens, I moved forward. And at that point, I believe it was October when I actually took title to the building. Once I took title to the building, Mr. Neumeier came back up and cited the building for the stairwell. Well, I just purchased the building at that point, so I had to have permits pulled. I had to hire a contractor, and when you hire a contractor, they give you a date, and you assume that you're going to be done on that date, and it was not done on that date. So to make a long story short, I purchased it. We pulled the permits. We made the repairs. We made it a much better property in the neighborhood. It's no longer drug-infested. It's a much better property now, and one that I'm proud of and one that the neighborhood is proud of. So I appreciate the reduction of $1,500, but I really would like the consideration to zero.
Question from the board?
If I could just rebut one, and all respect to Mr. McCrary, there was a good working relationship with staff. He had been, over time, but staff was well aware of Mr. McCrary at that period. It appeared, at least, he was doing contracting work. Maybe as a Good Samaritan, it wasn't necessarily always that perspective from staff. But he was one who, at this point, I think the perspective of the board was just the disappointment of his promise, and then his failed to deliver. And that may be, again, like I say, what would hit him, and I think what justifies why it was such a high fine then, and why even the involvement that leads us to where we are today, where we're asking for the standard 10% reduction, and our preference is really not to go any lower than that.
I just want to make sure we're clear as a board, Mr. Jackson. The order to impose the fine was put in January 5th of 2007, and he brought the property in compliance February 22nd.
Exactly.
So basically the 48 days of a $500 a day fine.
Absolutely. That's correct. And as I said, he came in December. He said he'd have it done in 2 weeks, and no one showed in January. And that kind of, I think, was the ultimate for the perspective of the board.
May I come in again, please? I appreciate working with the city and every project that we've worked on. I think we've worked with the city and we've had a great working relationship. I'm not a contractor. I can't contract the building. I have to hire a contractor. So I think there's some misunderstanding that I'm a contractor.
No, he said it was in good faith. Okay.
I'm not a contractor, so I have to hire a contractor. They give me a date, and I assume that it's going to be done on that date, and that's what I presented. It was a delay on their part, and we made every effort to come into compliance. And there's a difference between coming into compliance. You have to pull the permit first. You do make the repairs. The city held me to the date in which I believe the CO was issued. So not the date that the permit was pulled, but the date that the actual CO was actually issued. So therefore, it delays the process somewhat. If it's $1,500, I'll live with that. I understand that, and I'll live with that, and I appreciate that from the city. But I still would like a little further consideration for what we're able to do in the neighborhood.
Does the $1,500 cover the cost of staff's work? Is that what that $1,500 is based on?
Well, one of the things that's indicated, and if you were to look into the minutes here and the history of the case, it was a long case. And we typically, while we take consideration and respect for people who come in and take over, it wasn't a situation where this wasn't, he was responsible for the condition of the property, absolutely. He came in, and just as he says, for whatever, we never personally up here don't know exactly what his involvement in full, but no, he was involved. And he was actually even coming to the meetings initially when he was not a part of the case. But we added his name long before
I saw
he
that.
Was an actual owner.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So in some sense, he maybe gratuitously and voluntarily, but he kind of took on this interest and obligation of, I will get this thing done, and it wasn't getting done, and ultimately became the owner. And still, on his own promise, it wasn't done. So the question, did it cover? There was a lot of city involvement for a lengthy period of time on the overall case.
Can I ask a question, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
You said you weren't aware of the liens. If you were involved in the property beforehand, how were you not aware of the liens?
I did not actually become involved. I was looking at some of the notes. My first involvement with the property, I actually believe, did not take place until June when I was at another meeting. And I'm not sure, and I was reading the notes, I'm not sure how the city added me to a sworn testimony as it relates to the property. I don't know how that can happen if I'm not the owner of the property. I met with Mr. Pouncey. I saw him here. Mm-hmm. And at a meeting and says, I want to clean up the property. Sell it to me. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want for it, let's talk about buying it because I got to get this out, the traffic out of the neighborhood. So they added me long before I purchased the property. This goes back to June of 2006. I didn't acquire the property until I believe it was
October
of 2006. So I'm not really sure how I got on, because I don't think there was any other responses after that that would have involved me. I'm not exactly sure. I want to settle it. I want it to be resolved. If it's $1,500, I'll live with $1,500 and move on. Okay.
Any other questions? Any motions?
Make a motion that reduce the fine, the lien review, to $1,500 as staff recommends.
Second.
Motion's been made and properly seconded. Mr. McCreary.
Yes, sir.
What would be the timeline you need to make that payment?
We can do it today.
Okay. Motion's been made and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. McCreary, we've reduced the fine to $1,500 payable to the city within 30 days, or the fine reverts back to the previous amount. Thank you, sir, for your time this morning. Next lien review is lien review number 3, case number CB1108179, property located at 260 Williams Avenue, Gregory Antonich. Gregory Antonich. Mr. Antonich?
Yes, Greg Antonich.
Antonich. Thank you, Mr. Antonich. If you can state your name for the record and give us your address, we'll hear from staff and give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg Antonich, 260 Williams Ave, Daytona Beach. Yes, ma'am.
Tony, before you present, are we considering these separate?
Wow. Okay, good. Mr. Antonich.
Antonich.
I'm not sure what he would want.
Okay. That was lien review number 3 and lien review number 4, CB011401, property address also 260 Williams Avenue.
Yeah, I think what we ought to do, at least talk about both of them as a whole in terms of discussion, and you may have to, my recommendations will be looking at the whole picture.
Okay, my concern is that they're very different issues.
That's correct.
So that I want to consider each one separately, even though we may refer from one to the other.
Okay.
Well,
you're going to require two votes anyway because it's two
cases. Okay, yes. Okay. Okay, that's fine.
All right. Talk to us, Mr. Jackson.
I think Ms. Cundit hit it right on the button there that these are two separate issues. Lien review number 3 is our standard administrative fine for failure to get a rental arc license. And as you can see, this was an event that was 2011? I can't tell. I can't tell the day. Oh, 2008. Yeah, way back. All right, couldn't remember. All right, couldn't tell what I was looking at. Okay, 2008. And it's the standard $250 fine, and it's, and over time it accrued interest, so now it's $409.27. The position of staff regarding that is that we don't believe any there should be any reduction there. Not that this was the intent or the purpose of Mr. Anthony, but many times, or I won't say many times, sometimes what occurs with these administrative fine cases is people, rather than getting the inspection and having everything done, just say, you know, I'd rather just pay the fine. Now, I'm not saying he did that, but just for consistency in the way that we look at it, that's the choice, the consequence of not paying the fine, and so we believe that should be made. It's not like a running fine. It was something that occurred. Now, I did see Mr. Antonich's letter. I don't know what his status was as a realtor then, but I would think as a realtor that he would have at least had the duty of knowledge to inquire as to whether or not he was required to have additional permits or additional licenses. And this was our ARC license. It had already been adopted much earlier, and I think somewhere around 2002 or 2003, and here it was 2008. So I'm not quite satisfied with. Just I didn't know I had to have it, and I didn't know the fine was there. And since we didn't tell him, I didn't send a bill. I think that's what he had indicated in a letter that I had seen, or his maybe his response in the on the lien review. Since we didn't tell him and we didn't have a bill, he felt that that means that we should remove it. So the position of the city regarding that would be that it remains. As to lien review number four, perhaps
Tony, can we vote on this right now? On this,
if y'all want to do it separate, that's fine.
We need to give Mr. Antoni an opportunity to respond. We're dealing with the occupational license lien review number three first. We're going to deal with them.
Can I say this before you do though? It's very possible the way that we propose resolving the next one would even influence your decisions on this one. I don't know that, but just if that's potential and you think it's something you want to know, then you can hear it all.
Go ahead, Tony. Let's give us a second case now. Let's hear it for the second case.
Okay. Mr. Harrington, we're just going to go ahead and take them both. He's indicating that, you know, the decision on the second could affect the first, so we'll hear them both, but we'll do it in two motions.
As to the second, I think to a certain degree there was enough of a proceeding with this that the board, and this has been recent enough that the board very well may remember or recall this issue. This was the issue of the vehicle park, well, it was a commercial parking issue, and you may recall that there were testimony from the tenant, Mr. Antonich, the city, and the neighbors, and the primary complaining neighbor, and the principal issue was that after a lien review was imposed from a prior violation for commercial parking, that there was a vehicle there again that was in the right of way. You may recall the explanation given was that the vehicle, their explanation was that it was maybe someone stopping in for lunch or any of those other things.
Right.
Ultimately, the conclusion, I think, at least the evidence supported, or the testimony supported, that it had been there maybe even a couple of days, and even from the testimony of the tenant himself, it was there to be painted, so it wasn't really a lunch stop, but it was there to be painted. You may also see in the record that was presented that the in Mr. Antonich's response in his lien review request, he indicates that he didn't know, but however, you do see a letter to Ms. Hartman several days before the proceeding indicating it wasn't sent to him, it was sent to his tenant, which the address, which will, even if you look now, I would represent to you as the address, that's the address in the on the tax roll. The tax roll with his name says that that's the address that we would send this type of information to pursuant to statute, and so that's what we did. And that was also a complaint he had with the prior one as well, that was sent to the property and not sent to him. And in both cases, pursuant to statute, it was sent to what was at the tax roll. Now, of course, we had subsequent knowledge once he appeared, once he wrote his letters, but at the time of the notification, it was sent where it ought to have been sent. And he had also said that it was done without a hearing, and just for clarification for his information, and I'm sure you may recall that the initial proceeding was one where he was already in compliance, and it was just the staff coming forward and asking for a finding of compliance and did not in compliance have any effect of a will fine. So there was nothing more to the proceeding than that. The tenant was on notice that was what it was going to be, and we did that, and we were done. And so, indeed, it was handled in accordance to the way it could be handled, or it ought to have been handled. With all of that said, the staff, nevertheless, is still willing to reduce this lien to pretty much 50% of its what its final amount, which is to $500. and partly because we acknowledge, just as Mr. Antonuk suggests, and well, not suggests, but indicates factual, then it was remedied, and it was remedied so that we would not have this problem again, and that was that the tenant ultimately moved because of the great conflict, and we recognized that this was an issue that was a difficult issue even for an owner or a tenant, just because of having such a person that was very much frustrated with the events and a constant complaint. So with all those things understood, the city is willing to reduce this lien to $500, less lien number four to $500. That's the recommendation. And we're asking on lien number three that there be no reduction.
So in essence, for a total of $909.27.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Antonich, what can you tell us, sir?
I'd like to say I appreciate the city's consideration with this matter, and I apologize for the problem to the staff and everyone this caused. It was an odd, unique circumstance that unfolded. I accept the $500. On the first fine, I had no knowledge whatsoever back in 08 that there was a license requirement because the mail, whatever notice there was for that, when it passed, I had owned the property and it went to the house. Whatever consideration you'd like to give that, if I had known, I would have filed for the license. There was no reason not to. When the new licensing came up and I did know about it, just for whatever good it's worth, when Jurgen and his team went out to the property, it passed without one comment. That's how well maintained and up to code it was. So any consideration there is appreciated. Otherwise, I'm fine. Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, I just have a question. When did the, and it may have been for years, when did the city start requiring the 250?
Well, requiring the
business license.
Business license.
No, we just had that with the other case. Was that
02? I believe it was 02. It was either 02 or 03.
And people that were renting prior to then, how were they notified? Or they weren't, or was it up
to
them?
Remember, our notice requirement is pursuant to Chapter 162, and our notice requirement for any violation is to look into the tax roll, the current tax roll, and determine the address of the owner and send the notice to the address of the owner, unless we have some other information. If we go, unless it was changed within the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks, if we go to the tax roll, I believe the address is still the property address with this owner's name. So even from 2008 to present, he's never changed that situation, which leaves the notice to go properly pursuant to statute to that address. So the notice requirement aspect of it, we've satisfied the notice requirement. Now, as I said, I believe it was 02 or 03 when the ordinance went into effect.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, just one more quick comment. I just personally learned about this fine for the 2008 a few days ago when I was talking to Amy Hampton, and she had emailed me some information. Just to clarify for the board, I just found out about this on the record that she emailed me or helped me look up on the property as we were discussing this situation. So, like I said, if I had known, I would have been glad to do it at the time. There was no reason not to.
Can I ask a question?
And I gave the city, when this recent hearing came up, is when I gave the city and I realized that the tax thing was being mailed there. That's how recent this was that I learned about this. And the city took record of my address, according to Amy, and I still have to go to the county, but this just came up when this last hearing came up.
Okay. Ms. Kundig and then Mr.
Okay.
Jackson.
I have a question for you, Mr. Antonich. You've owned this house since 1999, is that correct?
I think so.
Okay, about then. Was it always a rental property?
Yes, ma'am.
So you never lived there?
That's correct.
But on the records, on the tax records in the county, you show this as your address, your mailing address, but you never lived there.
Well, I think that even though I'm a realtor, I mean, when I bought the house, I just closed on it. I don't know how it got filed that way, And I don't even remember what title company handled the closing, but at a closing of that, I would not have given the title company that as my home address because I had another home. So I don't know how it got that way.
All right. If it's been a rental property and that law, the rental license was in effect in 2002, has every other year been paid?
The business license.
Tax receipt.
Has that been paid since 2002, or is this? Are we just specifically talking about this 1 year?
I guess that question is actually Mr. Jackson.
Well, it's only come up as far as a violation before the board that 1 year. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer as to whether it was paid or not.
It's not in front of us.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, you were getting ready to say something before Ms. Kundig.
Mr. Garcia pointed out something to me that he wasn't quite sure that Mr. Antonet was sworn, you know, to whatever that was worth for the board in terms of his statements and whether he'd want to at least put on record now his preferred mailing address, even though it still will be confusion if he doesn't go clear it up at the tax roll. Okay, good. Like I said, I don't
get his address.
For the record, my mailing address is 153 Dawn Drive, Ormond Beach, 32176.
174 is what you wrote down? 32174?
176.
On the lien review request, you had your zip code as 32174.
So then that's
incorrect. We got it right. 32176.
Okay.
All right. Well, I don't see anybody making a motion. I'm going to pass the gavel to Ms. Kundig. I'd like to make a motion, if we can get a nibble, to combine lien review 3 and 4 for a combined fine of $750 payable to the city within 30 days.
They'll break it down because they have two separate fines.
Okay.
$250 towards one, $500 towards the other.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for lien review number 3 to reduce the fine to $250 payable to the city within 30 days.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Is there a second to that motion? Sorry, I was thinking. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor? Say aye.
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 All opposed, like sign.
No.
No.
No. Am I allowed to vote? Mm-hmm. No. Let's have a roll call vote, please.
Okay, that was pretty clear. Any roll call is pretty clear.
Ms. Hines?
No.
Mr. Horn?
Aye.
Mr. Brown?
Yay.
No.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
No.
It did. All righty.
4-3.
It's dead.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Chair will entertain any motions at this time. Lien review number 3.
Motion that the amount is 909.27.
No, we're not.
409?
409.
9.
Oh, we're not combining.
Combining the two.
Yeah. We're just doing the one.
Just the one?
Yes. Lien review number 3.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Motion been made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of reducing lien review number 3 to a total of $409.27 payable within 30 days. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
That's not reducing.
Right. It's not a reduction.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is not reducing. That is leaving the fine as is.
Yes.
All righty. With that verbiage change and all of that little illegal jumbo, do I need to do it again?
No, I just need the vote again. I mean, the count.
It was all in favor.
All
yeah. All righty. Lien review number 4, staff recommendation is reduce the fine to total of $500. Is there a motion? Motion made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second? I'll second.
Is there any discussion?
No, I'm not. I'm just making another motion.
Okay.
Is there a second? It's been seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Did you have a question?
Did you have a question?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My feeling is that we should reduce the fine to $500 plus the accrued interest plus the cost of recording. So it would be $527.35.
$527. Would you like to amend your motion to include the rest of the cost to $527.35? No. Mr. Brown, didn't you make the motion?
No, I seconded it.
Oh, you seconded. Ms. Himes, do you want to amend your motion?
$527.35,
which would include costs. No. No.
Okay.
So we have no motion again?
You have the amendment.
We have a motion and a second to reduce.
On his amendment, that was you need a second on his amendment. Is there a second?
Is there a second on the amendment? Anyone else like to second the amendment? All right. The amendment dies. So we will go back to the first motion, which is to reduce the lien amount to $500. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Two. Opposed. Roll call vote, please.
Ms. Lucas?
Yay.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Bourne?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
And Ms. Condit?
No. Motion carries. 5-2.
All righty.
Reducing to $500. Payable within 30 days.
Thank you, Mr. Antonik. Also, if you can get with staff just to make that, Mr. Antonik, if you can get with staff to get that clarity as far as the property address and you being noticed so that you can receive it. All righty. Thank you, sir. All righty. We'll move to our hearing of cases. Case number one is in compliance as of case number 1-10-13-114 is in compliance as of May 7, 2014. Case number three is in compliance as of April 30th, which is case number CB041424 as of April 30th, 2014. Case number two, CB021423 property located at 823 North Pennsylvania Avenue is the respondent present. Come forward, please, sir. You can state your name for the record, and if you're not the property owner, your relation to the property owner.
Yes, sir. My name is Yaroslav Stefan Cole. I'm the property owner at 823 North Peninsula Drive.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Cole, if you can raise your right hand and be sworn in, please, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we'll hear from staff, Mr. Cole, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is 823 North Peninsula Drive. And in that case, I spoke with staff. You may recall this was a situation where we had some issues both with the staff as well as with permit division, and the permit division wanted to be heard on this as well. So I'd ask, first of all, I'll say that the property is still in non-compliance, and but there is a position of staff that we want to give them till next cutoff, and if I can have the inspector or Mr. Snowden from permits to address the board, please.
Mr. Snowden, you come on forward. He was sworn in, so that board knows he was sworn in. Mr. Snowden, what can you tell us, sir?
Well, we have an active siding permit that's ongoing, and it is, and he's exceeded that work of scope. And he submitted revisions to address that, and there's issues with the revisions. There's setback issues and all that kind of stuff. Since then, my last contact was he was getting a survey to see what he can and can't do with the property. But right now, he's got an active siding permit that he can continue with. the other side that he's exceeded, we put a stop work order on until we get it cleared up and permitting. So we're waiting on him to submit some new permits and stuff, or new plans and survey.
Is this something that can be done by the next cutoff?
What is the next cutoff?
About June 4th.
I would like to hear from him to see where he's at. My last conversation was he had a surveyor coming, and once that survey's done, then he'll be able to figure out where he can go from there.
Okay.
So,
any other questions for staff?
I have a question. Could you're talking about surveys, and all that says here is exterior walls, unless I'm looking at the wrong page, soffits and roof overhang. Why would we need a survey?
Because he started this work for a carport, and it's real close to the property line. And when he submitted it for a revision, that's when all this other stuff kicks
in. So the carport is an additional.
Correct, and he started that without the proper permit. So we're trying to clear that up.
Okay.
That's the roof overhang, sir.
All right. Any other questions for staff?
Oh, apparently I also have a neighbor witness. So if I couldn't bring her forward, and I'm.
Yes. Okay.
Jesus. Ma'am, if you can make your way to the microphone, state your name and property address, and be sworn in, please.
My name is Marion Treziak. I live at 827. North Peninsula Drive, which is directly next to him.
Okay.
Can you spell your last name for me, please? T as in Tom, R as in zebra, E C as in cat, I A K. I do. According to the permits, I have copies of them. The first one was a re-roof. From the re-roof, apparently, he took all the siding off the house and added a couple front porches, and now he's on to the back porch. That's not covered under a re-roof that I can see. I see no permits for any kind of porches. This extension that he wants, he's going to build a new roof, I guess, the four-foot extension, because his roof comes out like 2 feet or whatever it was when they built that house. So he's going to put a new roof on the first floor somehow. He has not gone by any of the permits that I can see. He has built, since he's had this permit for the roof, he has built one thing after another. And we have looked at black tar paper and torn Tyvek for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Now he's put the Tyvek back up, and of course it looks new, which is fine. But he doesn't finish anything. Not only does he not have permits, but he doesn't finish anything. And, you know, I guess that's all I want to say. Every time he gets a permit, I will be looking at it and wondering if he's going to go by it or not. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from the board for the witness? All right. Thank you, ma'am.
I think I have a question for staff. Should I wait?
No, you can.
I'm kind of confused by all the porches and where they are and where the additions are. It's not clear to me from the pictures where all these things are that everybody's talking about.
Well, what happened is I cited them in December, okay? And what's the confusing part is she's a neighbor, and he started also a retention wall right next to her. And I cited them again in April. And so permit division has incorporated both permits into one, and he issued another, like, stop work order, if I'm correct.
Oh, right.
Stop work order because he needs to get the survey done, not only on the wall.
Where's the wall? Do you have a picture of the wall?
Well, I came up to the close. It was it's coming up a couple. It's just it's a concrete wall he started. Matter of fact, apparently he said that with the neighbor's husband helped him build it.
Yes.
Right there.
My husband.
Okay.
So that's where we stand right now. Bo might, you know, advise a little bit better, but we've got one permit that was issued. Originally, it was issued in 2008 and expired. He did not finish the work. I came upon it in December, recited him, and that's where the permit right now is technically on hold. Is that correct, Will?
Correct.
It's on hold, so he can't finish the work, according to Stefan, because he needs to get the survey done. So
let me make sure the board is up to date before we hear from the respondent. Everything's on hold.
Right.
And he's doing what he needs to do to be in compliance with city.
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Right.
All right. Any other questions for staff from the board?
Clarify exactly what compliance means according to what's listed here.
Yeah, the compliance is to make sure the work is completed on the exterior wall, the soffit damage and so forth, the roof overhang. But what happened is this new case got incorporated with this old case. So the building department will incorporate one major permit instead of having two of them.
Are you going to change this?
I'm sorry.
This.
So in order to finish that, it needs to get everything done now.
Okay, so have a second case.
Right.
What Mr. Harrington is asking is the entire scope of the work. And just know this here, Mr. Harrington, a lot of times we just have a line or two of what the entire scope is.
I understand.
And so what
that,
you're asking
but
for
porches
the.
Porches are not
right,
listed.
Right. Everything is not listed.
Right.
As far as what he's been
saying. That's why the building department will explain to you what happened.
Can I just clarify something, though? And you just heard from Inspector Tom Klink, who's the code inspector on the case. He does cite no permits for exterior work, and
right.
Exterior work is all of these things that they're talking about.
Gotcha.
So I think that
okay.
would cover.
So that's covered
Mr.
under that.
Mr. Harrington under that.
Catch 22 covered.
The response, I think there was a question as to whether he is doing everything to come into compliance. He's been instructed to do everything to come into compliance. Whether it's done or not, that's what we're waiting to see.
Right.
That's just clarification.
And again, my concern was the stop work order has been issued. Has it been complied with?
The stop work order was for the additional work. He pulled a siding permit. You can put a revision on any permit.
Right.
Okay, I decide to go ahead and add a dormer or do so. They submit a revision. When we investigated the revision, that's where we put a stop. Listen, you've already started this work. We're stopping it. This is it. But we did not stop the siding because, you know, we want the house to be watertight and no further damage and so forth.
Okay.
So that's where we stand right now. We're waiting on a survey and for him to figure out what he's going to do because
okay.
the plan he came with is not going to be able to be done.
Okay. Right. Any other questions for staff? Mr. Cowell.
Cole.
Mr. Cole, what can you tell us, sir?
Oh, that's true. The staff's been working with me at every point. We try to work with them to find out what needs to be done. There's some issues because the property is historic. The co-share over the carport, the neighbor knows as she grew up in the house, did exist. We've submitted photos of the existence of the co-share. Her husband was fully informed for months before, helped me pick up the materials, get it. It was all discussed. I talk with each of these people at every time. Obviously, they can't know whether I'm out there doing it or not every moment. I understand that, sir. But to say that it was 5 and 7 years at work when she knows why that happened is disingenuous at best. I'm complying with everything I can. I'm doing the work as quickly as I can. The south side cannot be sided because the carport has to either exist, be replaced with something. Something has to be there to build over it because of flashing and all that sort of issues. So
okay.
right now we need the survey to be able to deal with any future neighbor complaints that establishes directly where the property line is and where everything is, as per the advice of Mr. Snowden, who's been very helpful, and so is Officer Klink and everyone else.
What timeline are you looking at to having this done?
I call the surveyor. I have to wait for the surveyor to show. Once the survey shows and gives me the survey, then I have to re-go to the architect and have him draw it with Mr. Snowden's approval on what the setback would be, and then there will be a question of whether a variance is necessary or an approach to the historic board to reestablish the original couchure or what would be an issue. So I'm doing everything else I can. The roof overhangs have been done. The soffit and fascia is done. I've done everything I mostly can except for what's based on this problem sitting here now.
You've stated you called the architect?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
And
these plans have been submitted at each point, and then when they determine, because of neighbor complaint, that there's an issue, he has to redesign it in whatever recommendations made by the city, which takes time, unfortunately.
Okay. There was a question that you wanted him to answer.
It was related to our timeline, and,
right.
and our he said enough to leave us understanding that we're probably better off for next month to have a progress report, determine what has to happen next, and then we can solidify the time period, whether it's 2 months down the road or even further. But we obviously want the job complete. I think the complaint of the neighbors, she wants the job complete. I believe the the respondent wants the job complete. So we want to put them in a position to get the job done.
Okay. So we are more or less amending our order to request a progress report. Do we want to set a compliance date?
Let's go ahead and set the compliance date to the month following that, whichever, where are we in?
Be July?
Yeah. Let's set it for July.
But have an update next month.
Yeah, we can address it further with the from the progress report.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Did you have anything else?
No, sir. I respect the board, whatever you guys' decision. I'll do my best to comply.
Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till July 2nd to bring the property into compliance, but provide a progress report via staff or the respondent himself at our June 12th board meeting to let us know what's going on with the project and the property. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Yes, motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, sir, is given you until July to bring the property in compliance, but we need a progress report next month. So please continue to stay in contact with staff so that we can be updated, so that if you're not able to be here, you've updated staff so they can let us know what's going on.
Mr. Snowden and Mr. Kligger informed whenever there's a change on whatever the status is.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, before we call the next case, if I can approach.
Yes. Yes, that's fine.
Case number 28.
Okay. All right, board members, we're going to go to case number 28 on page 7. Case number 28 is CB051458, Stephanie Robinson, property located at 590 Shady Place. Is the respondent present? Ms. Robinson, if you can come forward and be sworn in, please. Give us your name for the record and address.
Stephanie Robinson, 590 Shady Place, Daytona Beach, Florida.
All right.
Yes.
All righty. Ms. Robinson, before we hear from the inspector, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations did exist at the time of notice?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mr. Lopez via Mr. Jackson via Mr. Garcia, what can you tell us? Sounds like a law firm. Lopez, Jackson, Garcia, et al.
Can I say something real quick?
Let me hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
On this case, the staff is asking that this property be brought into compliance by next cutoff, or at the very...
That's what standard. You want to join that law firm?
I'm sorry. Okay. As you can see, the list, the property itself is in complete disarray. The last knowledge of the inspector was that the property is occupied. There is some concern about as the things that are listed, electrical concerns, electrical system, lack of smoke alarms, and things like that. We're asking that they get on it and get on it quick and get these things taken care of. And the staff is asking that this property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Is the property occupied, Ms. Robinson?
No, I was moving back in there, but the people, it was a big situation because my cousin was staying there, and he let some ladies move in, and I guess they know the law to the top of the chain because I would have to go through an eviction process and stuff, even though they weren't supposed to be staying there, and I wasn't even collecting money from them. So as I was telling Mr. Lopez, I didn't think I should have to come out like $1,000 to evict somebody that shouldn't have been staying there.
Squatters, huh? Gotcha. Okay. How long do you think it'll take you to bring the property into compliance?
It's a guy, Mr. Billy. He had been working on it. I'm not sure if you guys know him, but he's actually had to go because the city came to another job that he was doing. So he had to leave to come do some more stuff there. The people that were staying there, once the police got involved, like, they kind of messed the house up more than it was. So I don't know. Probably like 45, 60 days. I have no idea because I don't know how to do that type of work.
Okay. Right. We just want to make sure that the house does stay vacant, Ms. Robinson,
okay,
until these items have been addressed, if you will.
Okay. I have three small kids. I'm not moving back in until everything is situated.
Got you. Mr. Jackson, the respondent, is asking for more or less a 60-day to bring property into compliance. Is that amenable by the city?
I'll ask if let you hear from Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
But I can tell you, I believe the position right now of staff is that no, would like to find a non-compliance and like them to get on it. It's been since January when they were first notified, and it's an important issue, of course.
Was it occupied in January?
Mr. Jackson, before he came, he said, since January, was someone staying there? Is this what she was saying she couldn't remove?
I don't know. That's a question that either she or the staff would have to answer.
Ms. Robinson, was the property occupied in January?
That's when the people were staying there, yes. She actually just left, I want to say, the end of April. I mean, the end of March, the beginning of April.
So the property is vacant currently?
Yes.
Is that correct, Mr. Lopez? Is the property...
It seems to be vacant, but my conversation with her, she stated that she's moved into the property.
Right, I was moving.
So I don't know. She has an address of 927 Marion Street. I spoke to her yesterday over the phone. She stated that she's in the property, and now she's saying she's not. So when I went to post the property does look vacant.
Mm-hmm.
When I posted the property, I could see inside the property. The property is in major disarray. There's no permits, and it looks vacant.
Okay.
So your answer to your question, it looks like vacant. I'm assuming it is vacant.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Mr. Brown, I still didn't get my question answered.
Go ahead and ask again, Ms. Hines.
My question was, the property was occupied in January. I mean, first notice in January. Are you saying that you couldn't remove these people, or was it you in the property?
I couldn't remove the people that were staying there,
so
the two ladies. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mr. Jackson, we're back to hearing from the inspector before the board considers the motion, or Mr. Garcia, one of the partners.
Well, we need to verify the fact that if the property is vacant.
Okay,
so that's going to be one of the considering factors. I'd like to say, let's continue this, get an acceptance of noncompliance from the respondent, bring her back within 30 days. It'll allow us to confirm whether or not the property is vacant or not. The life safety issues have to be addressed. There are exposed wires within the property, you know, no fire, smoke detectors. So we need to verify that first before we'll even consider it extending it. If within 30 days she needs to come back and we see progress within the house, then we'll take it up at that time.
And I guess some clarification may be, I think she's saying this, it's intended to be occupied.
Right.
The intent is not that it will be left vacant, but it will be occupied and it will need to be a safe, habitable structure, obviously, before it's occupied.
My concern is the items of safety. Are any of them on the exterior?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are any of the items of safety on the exterior of the home?
Well, what we have is excessive high grass and weeds and trash and debris outside. We have the exterior window that's boarded up. No, the property, as she stated, if it's vacant, it's still a life safety issue because there's no There's exposed wires. There's no type of fire extinguisher in there if a fire was to break out. So this is a rental property.
No, it's not. It wasn't a rental. They just made it like that.
The reason I'm asking, Mr. Lopez, is as far as, you know, I'm concerned, it's a matter of whether or not we ask for certain things to be handled within 30 days versus, you know, giving her 60 days to bring the entire property in compliance. And that's why I was asking, was any of the life safety issues exterior? I don't think the board would have a problem requesting that the property be cut and stuff like that within 30 days. But the majority of these issues to be addressed within 60 days, are we asking that all of these issues be addressed with, you know, and that's the clarity I'm trying to get from staff before, you know, the board takes it into a motion.
Yes, my brief conversation with staff, and they'll correct me if I'm wrong, but my brief conversation with staff is that as long as the property is not occupied, as long as the utilities are not turned on, then the life safety issues are not. They're not life safety. They become a problem when it's occupied or when electricity is turned on.
Okay. All righty. Ms. Robinson, do you understand, before I even entertain a motion from the board, what staff is requesting? That no power be supplied to this house until these issues have been addressed.
Yes.
If it is your intent to move into the property, so be it. Just make sure these issues are addressed.
Okay.
And then the board has to take a motion, take a vote on what we've decided. But the respondent has acknowledged. Okay. 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 Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till July 2nd. 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, as well as continuing to keep the property vacant until the issues have been addressed and complied with by staff.
If I may, I guess maybe we left out something that we felt was important. The extra time is not of great concern. It's the importance to us is that in 30 days, we know that things are being done, such as pulling permits and getting a progress. So if we can have a progress report stuck in there, then the time is not as much of a concern.
In addition, providing a progress report to the board at our June 12, 2014 board meeting as to what's going on with the property. Is there's a motion made by Ms. Heim, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Yes. Prior to you being notified in January, how long did those people live in the house that you didn't want there?
Probably like 3 months. I had been trying to get them
and
out.
And who lived in the house before that?
My cousin was staying there, but prior to that, nobody was staying there.
Is the cousin the person that you didn't want in there?
Well, he was staying there, and then I really couldn't tell you exactly what happened or how those ladies got in there. You get what I'm saying? I really can't.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I'm not asking that much. I just want to know what the status of the property was prior to squatters in there.
It was one smoke detector that I needed to put in the house.
Okay.
Well, I guess she's asking whether it's a rental or what.
I want to know, was it a rental before then?
No, ma'am.
Did you live there before then?
I lived there. I have been staying at my other house for a year, so I hadn't stayed there in a year.
Okay.
Ms. Kugnick, this is a citizen's complaint. I obtained access through the citizen, the tenant, who stated to me that she's renting the property. The tenant is currently not here, so it's hearsay.
Okay.
So the property... I would like to put on record that speaking with the tenant at the time, it was a rental property.
Okay.
The tenants are not here to speak, so
right.
It's here.
I understand.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Ms. Robinson, we've given you till July to bring the property into compliance, asking for an update at our next month meeting. What I would ask is that you stay in contact with Mr. Lopez so that you can let him know what's going on and save yourself the trouble of having to come down. But either way, at our meeting next month, let us know what's going on with bringing the property up to compliance.
Okay.
And also just want to reiterate, the property needs to remain unoccupied until these items have been addressed.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. Also that no electricity be supplied.
Yeah, that's occupied, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I know he would probably need electricity to do the work. So.
Right.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, if he has permits and contracts, so there's a way that contractor steward that won't be a problem.
Right.
And he should be a person that has permits and
just make sure the person doing your work is a licensed contractor.
Okay.
All right.
Or that's her home, or even if.
Oh, that's true. Or, yeah,
she can. What they're saying is we got to have a progress report in 30 days.
Okay.
But you need to make sure that whoever is doing your work pulls a permit.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Moving back to our agenda, case number 4, which is CB041442, is in compliance as of April 28, 2014. Case number CB041443, Milan Kozik, property located at 606 and 608 Butler Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Can you come to the microphone, sir? Please state your name and your address, and then we'll hear from staff, and we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you. My name is Milan Kozak. I live in Key West, 1821 Front Apartment in Key West, Florida, 33040.
Need you to repeat that one more time so that Amy can get it? You got it? Okay.
I do.
Mr. Kozak, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson or Mr. Newell? New partner at the law firm.
Yes, sir. This is a multifamily structure. The property remains in noncompliance. The inspector is recommending that a fine be imposed of $100 per day to a maximum of $20,000. And I would ask that I will bring Mr. Newell forward so that if you have any questions, you can he can address those. Mr. Newell.
David Newell. I do.
Mr. Newell, what can you tell us?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this property that you're seeing is two properties, 606 and 608 Butler. They're both rentals, apartments. The back structure has two tenant spaces. The front structure has, I believe, five. So basically seven units between the two. This was originally cited back in November for numerous issues relating to electrical wiring, smoke detectors not working, license, trust sign, and what appeared to be work being done without a contractor. A reinspection was done on March 4th with most of these items still not in compliance. At last meeting, we put them in noncompliance, and we're here today. A reinspection was done by myself yesterday. They have pulled or do have currently have a license, and they have put a trust sign on the building. They have put some smoke detectors up. They pulled a permit through the Permits and Licensing Division. That permit yesterday, Mr. Snowden went to find out if the permit was in compliance, and it was not. So currently right now we still have numerous electrical issues that are not in compliance. After speaking with the city's electrical inspector, there's many issues at that location with the permit that's not pulled and work being done without a contractor. Most of the smoke detectors, some of them are up, some were working, and some were not. So as you're seeing also some of the electrical wiring, like on this one right here, go back real quick there, Danny. What you're looking at here is a permanent fixture. Oh, well, you can start there. That is an outside junction box that both of them are outside junction boxes that do not have the proper covers on them and do not meet code. Go back to that
roof shot.
Yeah, the one of the roof shot there, Danny.
One more.
Should we one more? Maybe two? One more? What you see there is pretty much what is an extension cord being used for permanent wiring for that light, which is then connected to another light, which is then connected to a switch. So I don't know what other electrical issues are in there. I can just tell based on some of the things that I've witnessed and seen that they're obviously not in compliance. So we're recommending $100 a day until the work becomes completed from a licensed contractor pulling permits through the city.
Mr. Newell, I know you all have the authority to do so. Whenever I see or read of exposed wiring, my radar goes up because of the harm that could be brought to people. Is any of this a threat to the safety of the tenants? I'm quite sure they've been there and are used to it. But is any of, I know the city will do what's necessary if this is that.
I'm just clarifying, an imminent threat.
Essentially, the main threat is those exterior boxes. They could be immediately taken out of harm's way with some type of padlock on them to ensure that kids or nobody get into those. The rest of the exposed wiring, or actually the rest of the wiring for the most part, is just not done in compliance with code or does not have certain boxes installed. There is, as you'll see, there's a smoke detector that's missing. That right there is an electrical box that, as you can tell, it obviously burned at some point. Mm-hmm. There's also extension cords right there. That one, what is an orange extension cord, is running a fridge. So that's not in compliance either. There was where a smoke detector was, and a outlet was put in with the wiring of the smoke detector. There is another smoke detector in that unit, which actually was operational. So obviously my biggest concern is a lot of the electrical issues. As far as immediate concern, those two boxes on the outside of the building, having those padlocked would be the thing that could take care of that imminent danger now.
Gotcha. Any questions from the board for Mr. Newell or staff? All right, Mr. Kozak, come on up, sir.
Okay, folks, first of all, I would like to say that when I found out about this problem, there was about 10 days before the first hearing happened, because you may have a wrong address on here. When I'm looking here, this says 1821 Harris Avenue. I live in a front apartment. There's three apartments in the same address. I didn't know about this all this stuff until a month and 10 days ago. Now, when it comes to all those problems, when I received the paper, there was four problems that needed to be corrected in the paper. Trust signs, they are on the wall. Business license, they displayed in the window. Smoke detectors, I just drove from Florida. I arrived 2 a.m. last night. I went to the property, and in the morning, I took a video on every single one of those smoke detectors. They are plugged in. Working in working orders. I have videos and pictures, every single one smoke detectors. Mr. Newell says one of the smoke detectors is not working. He's probably thinks that the apartment number one, which doesn't have a power in that because nobody lives in that apartment, so there is no power. Only way to test and the smoke detectors are also battery operated. In the case there would be no power, they have the battery backup, they would work no matter what. So there is no power, there was no way to test the smoke detector. I called the electric company, the power should be plugged in today. Working today. If he's willing to come on over, test it one more time, it is working. But I have a picture of the seven units, seven smoke detectors, each one of them with the video on my phone that I can submit to you that is working as ordered. I have a paper from the licensed electrician that went in there, pulled the permit, and took care of every single one of the smoke detectors. There's a picture of the one of the smoke detectors that was not plugged in. When it was installed, the smoke detector was there. I cannot really stop a tenant from unplugging it for whatever reason that is. I have a picture on the same apartment. The smoke detector is there working with the video and everything. So there's four problems with the property. Trust signs, corrected. They have pictures. They're on the wall. Business license, corrected. Smoke detectors, working. All seven of them have videos. Feel free to come on more time. The power should be on. They're all working. And the extension cord, that's been corrected also today. And as soon as I got there in the morning, all it needed to do, it was the metal covering, like you see right over there, there's metal covering that makes it all in compliance. I have a picture of that I was correcting in the morning. So every single one of those things. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Those boxes?
Yes.
None of those things were mentioned on the paper that I was supposed to fix it. I didn't even know that it was a problem. Exposed the boxes, you know.
What? Okay, Mr. Gozak, I don't want to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges when you receive notice is to make contact with the inspector so that you don't have to drive up at 2 a.m. in the morning to get things done before the board meeting day when things should have been addressed by April 30th so that he can give us an update today letting us know what has been brought into compliance. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time you're seeing Mr. Newell?
Yes, we were talking on the phone numerous times over the last month.
Okay, and the reason that we give cutoffs is so that we can get things done prior to the day. You're coming in today saying these things are fixed, and we have no proof that it's fixed aside from your word. We're not denying your word, but we can't go on that. We have to go by the evidence submitted by the city, who usually takes photos, and they can attest to what has been fixed and has not been fixed. Now, I want to make sure we got you clear. You're stating everything has been addressed minus the exterior boxes.
Yes, sir.
And you're asking for a reinspection to have those things inspected.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else you want to present to us?
Also, I would like to say I had a licensed electrician from the Electric. That was the person who pulled the permit, and he was dumbfounded when I called him yesterday and told him the smoke detectors, as they say, are in non-compliance. He was like, I cannot believe this happened because I am a licensed electrician, and I put word behind my work.
And when did he get that? When did he finish his work?
A few days ago.
Okay. Again, before Mr. Newell had been contacted. And so we're not denying the work is not
all
done.
I'm saying,
it's just
all I'm
when
saying,
the property was inspected,
yes.
It was not done.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that if there is any misunderstanding that, you know, Ms. Newell or anyone else thinks that this is not correct properly, I would like to be given a little bit more time because I've been working on it and on the phone with Mr. Newell many times on the phone and trying to correct it in a timely manner. To be fined $100 for work that I think, and my electrician tells me it's all finished, it just seems unreasonable. I'm just asking for a little more time. If there is any issue they think, and I can have those boxes fixed. Well, since I'm, you know, in Daytona Beach right now, I can have them padlock it, not a problem. Anything that he thinks that it should be done, I just want to be let know, and it will be taken care of. You know, all I'm asking is more time, you know, not to be fined $100 per day. When I'm hiring electricians, you know, I'm paying for everything, taking care of everything, doing my best, you know, to take care of it.
Any questions from the board?
Yes. How long have you owned the building?
About a year, I'd say.
Okay.
And honestly, ma'am, I hired a company to check the buildings. I hired a title company, and all of them, and I have the paperwork, swore that the business is in perfect condition. Now, a year later, not even that, I'm finding out problems that I didn't even know existed. Nobody told me about. You know, I pay lots of money for that building, and all I do recently is to pay and pay and pay and pay.
That happens with rental property, doesn't it?
Okay.
I have a properties in Key West that I rent also, and I believe the problem is that I don't live here. You know, I'm 7 hours away, and it's tough to deal with people over the phone. Nobody wants to claim any responsibility. Everybody's got a time for everything. It's just tough,
okay.
You know.
Thank you.
Apartment
front. There's three apartments.
Okay. Is there a number?
There's A, B, and front. So front is the front unit where I live.
So if I just put on your mailing address, 1821 Harris Avenue.
Front. Exactly. Yeah. That's the way. That's how it's in my ID also.
Okay.
Like I said, I didn't even know about it until 10 days before the first hearing when my property manager. That's another thing. I have a different property manager. If somebody told them before. I didn't know about it because I have a new property manager, and he told me somebody walked to the property and handed them a paper, and it was like, hey, listen, this needs to be taken care of, and you have 10 days, otherwise you have to go to the board meeting, you're going to be fined this and that. And I was like, wow, 10 days. So I, you know, started correcting all the things and everything, and I asked Mr. Newell for another extension. I believe he gave me another 30 days, and that's when I hired an electrician and tried to, you know, fix everything. You know, that's all I'm asking.
Just remind Mr. Kozak and the board, and I think David New would agree or say the same, that because of the nature of those violations, that it requires the inspection of the electrical inspector, and so even if we thought it looked okay, we have
to have an inspector.
A trade inspector who goes out, and at this moment it hasn't passed.
Clarify a couple things. The electrical contractor was who met with the electrical inspector yesterday and knew at that time, after speaking with Mr. Snowden personally, that that electrical contractor knew that it didn't pass currently at that moment. So I don't know if it passed a little while later. I do understand that it's a rental property and that you do have tenants that could be taking things down. As long as it's compliant when I'm there, that's all I can do. As it relates to some of the other wiring issues, it was put in here for correction to be made. I did speak initially back in November on a different specific maintenance person on site who walked me through the property. After that, I did speak with that gentleman again and said that Mr. Kozak was notified. So these issues as it relates to the wiring have always existed also. So those are the things. And the most important part is all that electrical wiring that still has to be done by an electrical contractor. And what I had wrote in the initial notes was that I wanted the evaluation of the place done by a licensed electrician to evaluate if everything is good in that units for everybody and the safety of the tenants that are in that space. That was not pulled with the permit. That was not addressed in the permit that was applied for by the contractor that he hired. So we have, you know, two things that one of them probably is corrected as it relates to the smoke detectors. It was not as of yesterday. As it relates to the electrical stuff, as you've seen, the pictures were yesterday, were still not taken care of. So he has been calling me a lot in the last two and a half, 3 weeks to try to get this taken care of. But again, these are still the outstanding violations.
Okay. Mr. Newell, Mr. Jackson, seeing the respondent is physically present in the city now, would there be an objection from the city if we amend it till next cutoff?
I guess I'm going to ask for legal counsel to say, as this has been going on since November, is there a opportunity to say, I think we've done this in the past, start the running fine as of today. However, if it's completed within the next 30 days or 15 days, that it goes away, or can we do something of that nature?
I want to at the next meeting to go ahead and make it retroactive tonight.
Okay, so we would go to the next.
If they want to do that, they have that option to do that. I'm saying that. Yeah.
Okay, well, then that's what I would pose. I would pose or suggest or hope that at this point, can I request from the board to.
It's different, but it's the same result.
Okay.
So that result of saying, let's go to the next, and if it's not in compliance, would ask that.
Revert back from starting today of the $100 a day.
Yes.
All right, any other questions from the board? If not, Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until June 4th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, retroactive till today, for the board to consider at our June.
I'm sorry. You were saying that not
in
compliance, come back to the June meeting?
Yeah. It would have the June meeting, if they found a compliance, they would consider a fine, which would be retroactive.
Okay. Till today. Okay. Till today's all meeting. Right. Gotcha. Wanted to make sure. Yeah. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
How about that? Tied. Motion goes to Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Ladies first. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Kozak, we've given you until next month to bring the property into compliance. Please, while you're here, stay in contact. Get his number. Get his pager number. Hunt him down. Make sure your property's in compliance. If it is not, when we come back next month, we have the ability to revert the fine starting today instead of next month. You had a question?
Yes. I just would like an exact. Because on the paper, like it states,
that's what he's going to get with
smoke detectors and stuff.
Mr. Newell will give you all of the exact items
because
you need to
have addressed. I don't want that to happen again. But I think that all the stuff that says on the paper is corrected.
Gotcha.
The day before the hearing, somebody comes to me, it's not.
Gotcha. Yes, sir.
I'll take it immediately.
It's understandable. Please give Mr. Newell his information so that he can be in contact with you, or you can be in contact with him. Thank you, sir. Case number CB041444, property located at 1002 West International Speedway, is in compliance as of April 28, 2014. Case number 7, CB041445, is in compliance as of May 7th, 2014. Case number CB011404, property located 604 Cassin Avenue, is in compliance as of May 8th, 2014. Case number 9, CB041425, Timothy D. Hudson, property located at 519 Arthur Avenue. Is the respondent present? Not. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson? While Mr. Jackson is getting ready to present, since we only have four people in our audience, if you all will please get with one of the inspectors so we can take you and get you out of here instead of just running down this agenda. Eddie, if you could handle that for us, please, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, this is the property at 519 Arthur Avenue. The violation is working without permits. The inspector is John Stinson. Is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector indicates that the property is still in noncompliance and is requesting a fine be imposed of $100 per day to $15,000 maximum.
The respondent was here last month and stated they were going to be pulling permits. Is that correct? He said he was a contractor or something like that. Refresh my memory, please, John.
That is correct. The respondent was here last hearing. He stated he was going to obtain the permits. The only permit that's been applied for is for the increase in amperage for the electrical system. That was applied for on 2714. It has not yet been issued, nor has it been approved. So technically he has no permits.
Has work stopped?
Work has stopped.
Any communication from the respondent?
No, sir.
Since the last proceeding or ever?
Since the last proceeding, nothing.
And my question is, Mr. Jackson, the issue was you were doing work without a permit, so we told you to stop and you stopped.
Okay.
That's all that's on the case number. Is working without permits.
The short order.
The short order.
They have access to the long order, if you will.
Okay. But the violation, the remedy to such a violation is not just stopping, but obtaining a permit.
Right.
Because even, I mean, if the work has been done, which we can inquire, then it requires that a permit be retained and with the permit fees and all those other necessities. Has work been done?
Work has been done.
Okay, so a permit is required. And so they would be in noncompliance, and and their compliance would be going and getting a permit, which they have not done up to this point.
Okay. Any questions from the board? What was staff recommendation?
$100 per day to a maximum of $15,000. It's a non-owner occupied property. Was first notified in February.
Gotcha.
So all that's left is for him to get the permits, right?
To do the work that's been done, and I guess any other work that needs to be done.
As you can see, the I think the photos show that there's been some substantial work. If I remember what I saw, I don't see it now, but it looked like there was some substantial work. That's the inspector.
Yes, the property was undergoing a full renovation. The only permit application on record was for the increase in amperage. Since the stop work order, yes, the work has stopped, but as you can tell by all the photographs, they're doing a whole lot more than just upgrading the electrical system.
And although we indicate that they were first notified in February, and I can ask Mr. Stinson to verify this as well, but I'm looking at a report from him that indicates actually that they started this renovation and the first had the issue of stop work order back in September, and then they stopped, but then resumed in January, which caused us to have to come back in February, which resulted in this case.
So issued in September, they stopped, and then they resumed.
Yes.
They were issued a stop order.
Yes.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Yes. I'm unclear on something.
It's unoccupied. There's nothing to require him to do any further work. So he doesn't have to have a permit to do any further work since he's not going to, he's not doing it. So the only violation really is the work he's already done without a permit, right?
The remedy is either tear out the work he's done or get a permit to have that work approved. He hasn't done either. He doesn't have a permit, he has to torn out the work that has been done.
But he has to have a permit for work he's already done.
Yes.
But he doesn't have to have a permit for work he might do sometime in the future. Until he does it. Until he's ready to do that work in the future. I'm looking at the time period where we'd be fining him. I think it'd be more one-time fine, right?
And
$100 a day.
Mr. Smart's question goes to what I was leading to earlier, whereas the work has stopped, so I didn't know if we want to run a fine or if we want to do a one-time fine. And again, that, you know, Lord, that would be up to us whether to levy a one-time fine or instead of running a fine when essentially, yes, he's done work without a permit, but he stopped doing that work. And so if we wanted to more or less penalize for the work that you've done without the permit, now if you're going to do anything, you need to get the permit so that you can do it.
Mr. Chair, that's my point. I would like to say, too, I understand what you're saying, but also this is a contractor,
true,
if I'm not mistaken. And he was here last week and said that he would do this.
Right.
Now, we have other cases that we run fines on that work have been done.
Gotcha. You're right. You're right. You definitely want to remain consistent.
How does one-time fine work? I'm not clear about that.
Same as, you know, the administrative fee. You have to pay that or it's a lien versus an accrual.
Can I help you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Garcia, you came up to say something, sir.
Yes. Just to clarify, although he was cited for work without a permit, okay, he's done work already. He has to apply for a permit for the work that he's been done, that has been done,
right.
Okay? If he wishes to continue to work,
need another one.
Then he may not need another one. That same permit may cover
right.
for him to continue to work. Okay, the fact that we did go in September, we issued a stop work order. They were already aware of the fact of you need to stop, go and obtain permits. And in January, we get a complaint again that they're back on scene working again without a permit.
Gotcha.
So that's why we've cited them for that. We didn't get into the technicality of electrical, your plumbing, so forth and so on, because that covers a broad spectrum, the work without a permit. So it's past, present, and future are all combined in that one catchphrase.
Gotcha.
And if I could say, just as a reminder of the testimony from the inspector, that it appears that the effort was made, that they did apply, whatever their hindrance or whatever keeps them from getting a permit, they have not at this point remedied, but instead, as electrical wait until things die down the air, at least, and see if they can keep on going.
I just think the board needs to be cognizant of the fact that they were issued a stop order previously and resumed doing work without the necessary permit. So
the one-time fine, as was suggested, can cover it, but it's as every day goes on, they have continued to procrastinate. Now, February 7th, they applied for an electrical permit, which hasn't even been approved. So we don't know the reason why. They could have asked, the city may have asked for additional information in order to approve this permit, but you're still talking February, and here's May, and they still have not shown or put forth any effort.
Gotcha.
So that's why we're asking for a daily fine to run, opposed to the administrative fine of the one-time fine.
Gotcha.
Is this a contractor-owned house, or this Mr. Hudson is the owner and is a separate contractor?
Well, I think when he came last time, Mr. Hudson stated that he was a contractor. I think beyond that, we don't know if he is or is not. He stated that he was a contractor.
I assume it's one and the same.
Right. All right. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion fine and respondent $100 a day with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr.
We have number 19.
All righty. Oh, so they did get what you did. Number 19, case number CB051448, Prime Star Fund 1, TRS Inc., property located at 2 Lions Paw, 7 Noble. Is the respondent present? Yes, sir. If you come forward, please state your name, address, and relation to the property owner. Be sworn in.
Mr. Chairman, board. My name is Bill Campbell. I am a representative for the lender.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth,
and
nothing but the truth?
I do.
And
my
lender,
sir,
what company?
Prime Star Fund 1 TRS.
Oh, that's one.
Okay. Mr. Campbell, before we hear from staff, do you acknowledge that some or all the violations existed at the time of notice?
I do, Chairman.
All right. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Stinson, or Mr. Garcia?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on record. This case is for the address at 2 Lions Paw, 7 Noble. It's in the LPGA subdivision. I began this case. Actually, this case is actually overlapping into two cases. The case that you're hearing for right now is working without permits. Way back when, in May of 2012, I found this property, or rather I received the complaint that this property was vacant and unsecure. As you can see by all the photographs, I've done multiple inspections on the property. Our supervisor, Mr. Garcia, has also accompanied me there on more than one occasion. I have spoken with the builder who actually built the house. I've spoken with numerous contacts from the HOA, from LPGA, prospective buyers, investors. Long story short is, this house was in complete disrepair from the roof to the foundation. It's four floors to include a basement. The basement had averaged probably about 3 feet of standing water for 2 years. The rear of the house, the second floor balcony, completely collapsed. Due to water damage, flooding, it just fell apart and laid on the on the deck by the pool. Green pools, overgrowth, rodent harborage, the whole nine. Now, the property has been completely renovated and is on the market for sale. There has been one permit. Actually, it's finally been issued, and that was for the replacement of the elevator in the house. Unfortunately, that doesn't cover everything that's been done. Not even close. So that's why we're here today.
Hmm. All right. Any questions from the board for staff? Be interesting when we get to find.
Who was the owner in 2012?
In the year of 2012, the property owner was, see if I can say his name properly. Hanus Neal in Majda.
Would you spell the last name?
H-A-N-N-O-U-S-H.
So the ownership has changed?
That's correct. It went from a person to a corporation.
To a corporation. Okay.
Through foreclosure.
Foreclosure.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions for staff? Mr. Campbell, what can you tell us, sir? Hold on one second.
Compliance, not compliance.
Mr. Stinson, if you can give him the mic.
Definitely.
Okay.
Sorry.
There you are, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you. Correct. The property is a foreclosure. It was previously owned by SunTrust. Our corporation purchased the property from SunTrust the latter part of last year. We were unaware at the time of the previous violations of codes that the property had. Since the stop work order, nothing's been done on the property. The property was renovated, as Mr. Stinson had indicated. The lender has been unable to obtain permits in order to plans in order to pull permits. Since then, what the lender has done is they have hired an engineer, an architect, and a contractor, actually the contractor that built the property, to pull permits. What the lender is asking for is 90 days to actually cure the issues. Once the plans are drafted by the architect, we'll go in and remedy the problem and ask for a reinspection. Just 90 days to have that done, and it will be pulled.
Can I ask a question? Who did the renovations?
It was a contractor out of Tampa, Florida.
No, was it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I need a further clarification. Was it PrimeStar or was it SunTrust that did the renovations?
PrimeStar actually completed the renovation.
And okay, thank you.
Mr. Jackson's staff's position, respondent is asking for August for compliance. And I guess my question would be, you all would know, or if you would know, the time frame here and getting plans for work that's already been done to get those plans approved to say it's...
Well, as you may be aware, well, I'm sure you're aware because this has come up. I mean, the work without permits, we never know what that's going to mean. When
right.
when they come in and inspect, does that mean you have to redo something or what the status? So we don't really know really a time period. The perspective of staff right now is that everyone they've dealt with seem to be slow, dragging their feet, maybe even uninterested. And so we appreciate that PrimeStar is here today. One, we question exactly when he took over, and if he has that date, we'd like to hear that.
Sure. The property was actually foreclosed on by SunTrust in February of 2013. We purchased the property from SunTrust in May of 2013. It takes considerable time to get around to all of our assets. They're across the nation. We didn't get to this asset until about 6 months ago.
And in our mind, 6 months is a long time. We understand people have to do a lot of things, and we understand the consequences of putting a lien on this property with them owning it leaves the property at the status of affecting all other properties they own, and there's a good reason why they don't want us to have a lien. No one should. Our problem, though, is that this has been long. This is complaint-driven. It always has been. And I have a note here saying that the property is currently for sale. Is that?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Which leaves us, I mean, are we going to continue to pass it as it's been passed now for a couple of years, and nothing's really getting done, and it's not satisfying the complainants, and it's not satisfying the city. So we're not sure 90 days. We want to see diligence. So I don't want to say 90 days. I'd much rather say let's find out next month exactly how much time and know that by what they do between now and the next cutoff.
Okay. If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Let me just wait until he finishes, and you will have an opportunity to respond.
So if we can just ask for a continuance on the compliance date, make a finding of noncompliance, a continuance as to the compliance date, and review that next month based on what is accomplished and what we know about what they have to do next based on what they're doing now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's taken at least the last 30 days to try to obtain the plans. We went to the city. The city indicates they do not retain plans for properties prior to 1995. However, the property was built in 1996, but they do not have the plans. We went to the architect, the actual builder, the developer. No one has the plans. They don't exist, and which we find hard to find. They just don't exist. So that's why we've had to hire the architect and the engineer to actually come in The engineer is telling us it's going to take in excess of 60 days to actually get in there and do the plans. The contractor is saying it's going to take another 30 to 45 days to pull permits and to get the inspectors back out there to certify the property. So that's why we're asking for 90 days to actually plans, to do the plans, to pull the permits, and have the property inspected. So we feel that the lender feels that 90 days is a fair amount of time to have everything completely remedied.
Mr. Jackson? Mr. Garcia?
As Officer Stenson stated, I've had some involvement with this case, dealt with the complaints from not only the citizens, but as well as when they were doing the work without the permits out there. Been privy to some phone calls with Officer Stenson where we've explained this time and time and time again. You need to get down there, get the permits. The elevator permit that you applied for is not going to cover the work that was done inside there. We continue to get the same thing of we have an engineer who's going to certify the work, but that's not applying for the permit. Now, final hour that we're here at the hearing to impose a fine is where now they're asking for additional time. They've had the additional time. I'm recommending.
This is a new case, though.
Or rather, I'm sorry. I'm recommending that we go to next month, and then from there we impose a fine.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
If I may, again, we did not have previous knowledge of the prior code violations. Once we found out that permits weren't pulled and the stop work order was presented, work was stopped. And we've been trying to find, the lenders have been trying to find the plans, and basically what they're saying is we will cure the issue. We will cure the issue. It just takes time to get it done and have the inspectors back out again to actually complete the work. We're not trying to run it and hide. The lender will take care of it, is what we're told. The lender will take care of the issue. It's just taking time to actually get it completed.
Mr. Campbell, could you?
Yes.
I'm fascinated to try to figure out where you are. Do you work? Are you an employee of PrimeStar? Are you a contractor for PrimeStar? And when you talk about the lender, are you talking about PrimeStar or a third party?
I'm the asset manager for PrimeStar.
So you are.
I do work for PrimeStar.
And you have the hot seat for this property.
So absolutely.
Things don't get done. We go directly to you and say, why have you not seen this being done?
Absolutely.
So,
as they say, the buck stops here in this.
The buck is going to stop with you.
That is correct.
So you shouldn't have any objection if we say, hey, you're in noncompliance. You've already admitted that. Mm-hmm. We say we'll come back in 30 days, and you're going to give us at least a progress report and show us the permits. Or the application for the permits, something will have been done in 30 days is what we're going to expect when you come back. Something very concrete, not the gods created the problem.
Absolutely.
You are creating a problem if it doesn't get done, and you're in agreement with that.
Right. Does it take less than 30 days to actually to pull permits and what have you? That's the issue.
You'll have evidence that you
apply.
There's a paper trail on all this.
Yes.
There'll be a paper trail on everything we're talking about.
Okay. Very well. That's
Can I ask another question? Who did did your company do all of the renovations?
Yes.
So SunTrust just let it sit there?
SunTrust let it sit. We
for
picked
two
it
years.
Up. And for
Mr.
2 years, I think Mr. Stenson was out
surprised.
Looking at
they
the code violations for all those years. It sat. And I guess they either SunTrust wasn't notified or
right.
We purchased it. We went in, cleaned it up, and did what we had to do to
without
get rid
permits.
Of the ice.
Without permits, right.
Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead, and I'll come back to it.
So the other thing.
Hold on 1 second, Ms. Harrington, Ms. Himes, and then Mr. Harrington, and then back to Ms. Kundig.
Okay. I'm having a problem with a company doing full renovations without a permit.
Yes, ma'am.
The other thing you're attempting to do, I understand, is while all this is going on, get a contract on this and pass the buck to a new buyer. Is that correct? You would do that?
No, sir. That is not true. Prior to a property being sold, there's title pulled on the property.
Yep.
We can't sell a property if there are liens, if there are code enforcement issues and what have you. All liens, all issues have to be cleared prior to a property being transferred into another individual.
Hopefully.
It can't be sold that way.
Okay. Which would be the circumstance when you purchased it, right? That all those things were there and it was sold.
Now, this property was purchased as part of a large portfolio. There's no way that complete due diligence was done in on every individual case. So there's a difference between an individual versus a title insurance
company getting it. Ms. Kundig, and then I have one question.
All right, go ahead. Mr.
Jackson, I want us to be able to move on. What's the minimal amount of time that we can grant so that we know something? And again, by their own acknowledgement, Mr. Campbell has acknowledged the property's in noncompliance. You know, for us to give them 3 weeks to come back to us and give us an update when it's not possible to give us an update, you know, are we saying we want to go to July for an update? What update can they give us on June 4th? That's my question. Do we know? Is there an update they can give us?
Well, that's the question I'm asking. Is he saying he can't give any updates on June 4th?
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry, June 12th is the hearing date.
Yes.
Well, right, that's the hearing date, yeah.
I think, as Ms. Kundig said, that at least there will be a history of an application being submitted or something of that nature. We're going through the processes now, having the sketches drawn up, to be able to submit the application to have the permits pulled. So we're going through the motions of the process to have this complete.
Mr. Chair, I have a better answer for you.
Okay, what's the timeline your architect has given you on drawing up the plans for the property that's been renovated without plans?
60 days is what he's telling us.
Okay. From when?
From the architect knew I was coming here today. He says, give me 60 days.
From when?
From today. 60 days from today.
Mr. Jackson.
Okay, that first, of course, as always, is that necessity or convenience, the 60 days. But the most important thing for the city is to know that something is truly happening in good faith,
right,
with due diligence.
Right.
And so we think we can at least get that answer in 30 days, that they're doing something really going forward. What the city would like to see is applications for permits, unless there's a great explanation on why they didn't happen, or at least be subject to a fine, that he has his application for permits and permits pulled, or be subject to a fine in the next 30 days, and in the next 60 days to be in full compliance. Now, he'll say that can't be done. I don't believe it can't be done. I just believe that it's not easy or convenient, and the same reason why I don't believe that it takes more than 6 months before you even start trying to remedy something after you purchase it, except that it's not easy when you have a whole lot of properties.
Right.
And it's not easy to do due diligence when you have a whole lot of properties. I understand it's not easy, but there are citizens who have been dealing with this for a very long, long time, and they're depending on us to make something happen.
To speak from a citizen's perspective, the problem has been fixed, but it wasn't fixed the proper way. Is that correct?
I don't believe that's
the problem was fixed, so we don't have to worry about the citizen complaint. The problem has been fixed. Now, legally, it hasn't been fixed the right way. Let's make sure we're not ignoring the citizens.
The appearance of the property has been corrected.
And that's what the citizens were complaining about. Now we want to get to the problem has been fixed the proper way. So, brings us back to the previous question. Are we looking at a 30-day or 60-day before we bring him back telling us something? That's my question directly to staff. Are we asking for 30 days, which June 4th will not be 30 days. June 12th is when they would come to us. Are we asking for June 12th or July 10th coming to us to let us know what's going on? Again, the respondent has already acknowledged that the violations existed. Just don't want our agenda to have to be lengthened if it doesn't have to be lengthened at next month's meeting. So that's my direct question.
I understand, Mr. Chair, the position of staff is that we'll stand on our recommendation, and we understand the authority of the board to.
And staff's recommendation is for 30 days
for
applications.
Application and permits. And of course, he'll be able to explain if he doesn't have the permits and explain why he didn't apply, if there's some reason why that could not have been done.
Okay.
Otherwise, be subject to a fine for
our standard.
And then in 60 days to come into compliance.
Standard. Yes, sir.
If I may, Is it possible to have the application and the permits pulled if our architect is telling us that he cannot prepare a plan within 60 days?
How did he do the work? How did the work get done if no one understood the plans?
This, we have no idea.
He's saying that
the plans disappeared. The city doesn't have a copy
of
the plans.
He's having to redo everything for the house. I have knowledge of plans not being available, builders not being available out there. So I know that that exists as something to deal with.
Yes.
But what I'm asking you is, if you say you need the plans, what do you need the plans for if the work's already been done?
I don't know if you can get a permit without plans.
Let me just
hopefully clear some of this up.
Okay.
And possibly assist this young man here and bring our point across. As the photos indicate, there were ceilings that had collapsed inside the structure, outside of the structure. There was no structural damage. So I don't see where plans for the house need to be pulled. I don't understand that process. That could be something that your architect or whomever is just saying to you, I don't know, that you'd have to go down to the building department to find out. However, the work that was done requires permit.
Right.
Electrical permit, which an electrical contractor can pull. A general contractor can pull the permit for the ceilings and so forth. That was done. This microphone really is out of control today.
That one's there.
Use that one. Just use that one.
So with that being said, my suggestion to the respondent is hire a general contractor, have him or her go in there, review the work that your people did or whomever you hired to do that work and explain to them this is what we did, and have that general contractor come down to the city and apply for the necessary permits that are required. With that time frame should be done within 30 days, which shows us good faith effort. Now, the general contractor has been hired. He or she has come in, filed for his or her permit, and gotten the work done. Now, everything else that you're indicating as far as architectural plans for the house and everything else, I have no idea where that's coming from. So that would be something else. But the concept is, you know, this has been going on for an extended period of time. As an investment company where you buy all these properties in bulk, you know, you should have been made aware of the fact and so forth and so on. And at the same time, know that when you go in to fix a property, you pick up a property, you have to pull permits to do this work.
Okay. Before you respond, I think you've answered my question, Mr. Garcia. Is it possible for them to get what they need to get from the city by June 12th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And then Ms. Hines has a question. Mr. Campbell.
The reason we hired the architect and engineer is because I was speaking with Mr. Stenson, and the verbiage was that you're going to have to go in and rip out all the walls, rip out all the work that was completed to make sure that it was done properly. We want to make sure there was no structural changes to the property and things of that nature. That's why we said, okay, we need the plans, because we didn't change the structure of the property. If we have to rip out all the walls and all the work that was done, we need to show the plans to show the work that was done on the property. So that's why we spend the money for an engineer and an architect. If it was as easy as hiring the general contractor to go in and say this was the work that was to be done, we have a general contractor. If it's that easy without having to rip out all the walls and to prove that there was no structural changes to the home, we'll do it. But if we've been told that there are structural changes and we've got to rip out all the walls, we need the plans from the architect to show that we didn't change the structure.
And of course, this isn't anything new. Whether or not, I would not believe that Mr. Stinson assured him or made the full determination of what would have to be torn out. But it is the standard that
if work is completed without permits, which including electrical work and plumbing work, that there's the strong potential that they may have to open the walls to see that work. So that's not really a strange comment.
Are you saying that they have to rip out?
No. Potential. Just to preempt your question, okay. It was potential. Ms. Hines first, and then Ms. Gundick.
The only thing I'm a little confused about here, what is the problem with 30 days? If it's being pulled or whatever, we need a progress in 30 days. If nothing is done within the 30 days, then we go back to today for the fine. Now, what is the problem?
Ms. Hines, I had initially asked that question. I wanted to make sure 30 days was enough time. I don't want to give a time figure that we know is not amicable, but according to staff, whatever needs to happen can happen within those 30 days.
Due to the time already, and due to the fact that everything was done without a permit.
Right. And so, you know, and again, staff would have the knowledge on whether or not 30 days was enough to get permits for stuff that has already been done. That was my question that staff has answered. And hopefully when we see this next month, we'll have some headway. Ms. Kundig.
Well, the complication that I see is if you sold the house.
We could take care of that by following the order.
Okay.
Yeah. Our.
That, I mean, that's one of the complications.
Yes, ma'am. And the home is the buyers, the potential buyers. The home is under contract. The potential buyers are aware. No. Potential buyers are aware of the issues.
We can't stop them from selling the property. We're not closing.
So. You can't close on a property that has liens and things of that nature on it.
And I just want to leave everyone that, I don't care who it goes to. These liens will have to be taken care
absolutely.
Of. And so if the new owners get it with these liens, they know about it.
Yeah. And then
so,
that's, you know, that's in our contract. That's in our contract that all liens will be... You will be taken, off the property. You can't sell a property with liens and code enforcement.
If they're, again, that's their choice to buy it with it if they want to.
Yeah, they've decided
all right.
not to.
All right, gotcha.
My bad.
So. All right, any other questions from the board? Mr. Smart.
Yes. So we're talking about June 12th. Secure the permits for the work that has already been done.
More or less.
Apply. Okay, but now you're questioning whether the work was done properly. Isn't that the second issue? Whether at that point...
That's for those people downstairs to make that determination.
...plans and how they could perhaps do it correctly if they're helping them correctly. But first off, you can decide or identify whether it was done correctly, which means they've got to pull some other permits then to... tear down and whatever they have to do to examine what was already done.
Right. That was my question, and staff said it can be done within 30 days. So
and that's my concern. I would like to ask that question once again. And I do understand that in 30 days there is another meeting. I'll be more than happy to drive up from Tampa again. But if we submit an application to pull permits.
That's what I was trying
to get proof that we actually did. That's what I'm trying. I mean, just to go through the motions to apply for a permit to satisfy the
I got you. But Mr. Jackson, would staff be amenable to a 60-day compliance, 30-day report?
That's fine. I think the issue is the concern of whether or not he gets fined in 30 days. And only thing the staff is saying is that. This is a serious issue. It's been a serious issue for a serious period of time. And the perspective of staff is that we need to know that we have diligence working. And we want to pass the responsibility onto the owner of the property to ensure that they put full and complete diligence into getting the work done. And if they can't get it done, that they take on the duty of showing this board that it was impossible to get it done. Not that it wasn't convenient to get it done, unusual to get it done, they just couldn't do it.
Well, I think by his representation here today, Mr. Campbell understands that we're taking this issue very seriously. And it's just a matter of getting things done in an amicable time, not necessarily necessarily for the respondent only, but also in the eyes of staff, making sure that things can happen within an amicable amount of time so that it's done and things are brought up to par. So I just asked that question, don't know where the motion is going to go.
Yeah, and just clarification, because I don't want us to be mislead in any way. We're not saying that we absolutely know it'll be done. We never do.
I understand.
We just know that it's possible.
Okay.
And we
okay.
want them to work with the belief that it's possible and try and get it done.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion. We'll see if we get it. For finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till July 2nd to bring the property into compliance, but returning to the board at our June 12th meeting for a update on the permit process with full compliance to be reached by July 2nd or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion?
Yes.
Are we adding on to that in this report if there's not a show of working or completion?
We'll know that in our progress report.
We'll know in our 30-day. If it is not, then the fine will revert to
that. Well, then we'll do that then.
That was going to be my question.
If it goes right back to that June date.
Okay. To the June day. Okay. And we will add to that motion, Amy, that at our progress report on the June 12th meeting, if there has not been any progress, then we will, well, we've given them, no, not if we give a July compliance date.
We can't go back to the June
date,
though.
Fine. Oh, okay. At our June 12th meeting, I'll get this and you can, at our June 12th meeting, if there is no progress report at our July 10th meeting, the fine will revert back to June 12th.
Which fine?
Whatever fine we come up with. Whatever fine the board assesses at our July meeting will revert back to the June meeting, to the June date. And I'll restate that so it's clear. All right. At this time, Chair will entertain a motion, find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till July 2nd to bring the property into compliance, providing a report, an update at our June 12th meeting. If at our June 12th meeting no progress has been taken, at our July 10th meeting, the board will entertain any fines that are retroactive to our June 12th board meeting if no progress report or no progress has been made on this property.
Can we put the word significant progress
in?
Let's not dance with those words. Yeah, let's deal with it when it gets to us, Neil, because, you know, significant is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, so is progress.
Well, that's why we'll be able to make the assessment when we see.
I like significant progress better than I like progress.
If they only need to pull one permit, that's significant. We don't know how many permits need to be pulled. Well, I understand, but we're looking at a shell, and we don't know what needs to be pulled until we get that assessment.
I would be happy to see one permit or anything that's specific.
That's what we're saying. If no progress has been made at our June meeting, then our fine, which we will set in July, will revert back to that.
All I'm saying, and I'll drop it, is that the next step, I'm not saying you would, but some people would simply say, well, I've made progress, I filed the reports.
Oh, now,
and that's progress.
You know our history. We do not accept that as progress, Neil.
Sometimes.
So, may I ask for clarification?
Give me 1 second. Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Give me 1 second and we'll make it clear. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Let me update you now, Mr. Campbell, what we've done.
Yes, sir.
The board has given you till July 2nd to bring the property into compliance. The board is asking at our June 12th meeting for an update on the permits that need to be pulled. We are also encouraging you to have some permits pulled or applied for at the June 12th update that you give us, or at our July 10th meeting, the fine, if the board agrees to a fine, will revert back to accrual from our June 12th board meeting date.
Really?
Good?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for your time.
All righty. Beautiful property. Let's get it straight. All righty. That was case number 19. Where are we at now, Miss? Case number 20. Mr. Let's see here. We can get him to go to one of the inspectors. We can get him to go to.
Okay. This page probably LLC.
Okay. Okay. Case number 20CB051449, BH Properties LLC. Property located at 212 Madison Avenue. The respondent present. If you could come to the microphone, state your name, give us your address in relation to the property owner.
My name is Patricia Cross, and I'm with All Atlantic LLC, property manager.
And you are?
My name is Don Harkins. I'm the co-owner of All Atlantic LLC, the property management company for the subject property, and agent for the owner.
Harkins,
H-A-R-K-I-N-S.
Okay, so you all are the property manager for BH Properties.
Patty and I own the company and we're the property manager.
Gotcha. Yes, sir. Your name?
Mark Morissette, Sunstate Constructors. I'm the general contractor that was hired by the property management.
All right. At this time, if you all raise your hand and be sworn in, please, we'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
As representatives of the owner, Mr. Hawkins and Ms. Cross, do you acknowledge, Harkins, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty, we'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
This is Chair, members of the board.
Not working.
The staff on this case is a complaint-driven case, and staff is just asking for a finding of noncompliance and give the respondents some next cutoff to come into compliance. They were given there's been no activity since 4/7, which I guess would be appropriate.
All right. Ms. Cross, Mr. Harkins, staff is recommending that we give you till June 4th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. I understand you have secured a contractor. Is that amenable to you all? Or did you want to provide us an update and let us know why we're here, where we are? You can come on up to the mic.
I made a status report this morning. Mm-hmm. Of the 32 items that were listed on the violation notice in February, and in March, about March 19th, I think it was, I called and left Mr. Stinson a message that we finished all of the work that could be done without a general contractor that didn't require permits. We used licensed contractors, but
gotcha.
It was handyman work. And we had done all that. I didn't realize he couldn't do a partial inspection and say, oh, you did this, 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 and this, and these things remain for the GC. And then Mark was a little bit busy, so it took a while for him to get to us to come and give an estimate and all that. And some of the items were vague, so we needed some clarification. Mr. Garcia actually came with Mr. Stinson around the 9th or 10th of April, met with both of us,
okay.
Went around, clarified everything, actually found some new things. We took a big list of that. First things first, we're clearing up everything on the February violation, and then we're going to clear up every single thing that got found. Just we have to do them in order. So we're working on finishing the February 12th violation notice, and there's about five things that require the permit. Mark has applied for it, it or them, more than one, I think, because there's a roofing and windows. And
gotcha.
And we don't have that permit yet. There was a stop work order in late March. And so other than routine maintenance and painting, we have not done anything since that point. But as soon as we're all approved on our permits, we have a signed contract for him to take care of all the rest of the items that require a permit.
Gotcha. Mr. Marcet, as a contractor for this property, what is your best guesstimate as to when the property could be brought into compliance?
About 60 days.
Staff object?
60 to 90 days. I only ask for that because there is the reason being is there's a lot of dilapidated and rotted wood.
Okay.
We may uncover more as we're doing our renovation.
And just has been the practice of staff in the past, if you run into something like that, you can contact staff if you run into complications on the job. Staff object to a 60-day?
No.
Chair will entertain a motion find a respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until July 2nd, 2014 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Ms. Cross, Mr. Harkins, we've given you all till July 2nd to bring the property into compliance. What I would encourage Mr. Marcet to do is stay in contact with the inspector so that as things are done, if you run into complications, he will know so that he can update us so that you all don't have to keep coming back down.
Great.
All right.
And I just have one more thing. All of the notices go directly to the property owner who lives in California, and then they come to me.
Would you like to add your address onto the record?
Well, he wrote an email address putting us in charge and asking that.
You can read that address into our record and also provide it to Ms. Does she just need to provide you the address? You can provide that address to Ms. Hampton. That'll expedite and alleviate that problem.
All Atlantic LLC, 402 Seabreeze Boulevard, Suite 7. 32118. Well, I was going to give you the email the owner
okay.
sent.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Cross. That way that problem can be alleviated.
Great. Thank you.
Next case, Ms. Hampton. Anyone else? Did he have a case? Okay.
They came in a little bit later, so I'm not sure. 26? Is it 223 South Martin? Okay.
All right. You can come forward, sir. CB0. Did he have a case? No. Case number CB0514-56 FCL of Volusia. Property located at 223 South Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Sir, if you could state your name, relationship to the property owner, and give us your address.
Samuel L. Ferguson, owner, 1600 North. Samuel Ferguson, correct. Owner, and 1600 North Patrick Circle, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Mr. Ferguson, if you can raise your right hand, be sworn in, please, sir. Mr. Ferguson, before we hear from staff, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
I see the violations on here that do exist.
They did exist at the time of notice.
Yes.
Okay. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is 223 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. The inspector, Ed Lopez, he advised me that I just would need you to find them in noncompliance, and for the work that needs to be done, they should be able to get that done by next cutoff.
All right, Mr. Ferguson, staff is asking that we give you till June 4th to have this property brought into compliance. Is that amenable to you?
Yeah, I don't need that long. But.
All right. All right. Chair will entertain a motion find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till June 4th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So.
Motion made. Is there any objections? Seeing none,
I'll second.
I'm sorry. Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms.
Kundig.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion? I'm moving too fast. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Ferguson, we've given you till June 4th to bring the property into compliance. If you do it before, as you stated that you will, just contact the inspector so they can come out and inspect the property, and you'll be all set.
And they need to know exactly what they are. They told me shingles.
Definitely get with the inspector so you can find out what the violations are. All righty. That exhausts those that are present. Since we're on page 7, let us go ahead and continue. Case number 27CB051457 is in compliance as of May 7, 2014. Case number CB051458 is in compliance. We handled already. Case number 29CB051459, Tommy Robinson, property located at 364 Weaver Street. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
The staff is requesting noncompliance. Next cutoff to come to compliance.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion find a respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until June 4th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Is there a second? Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We are on page 4. Case number 10, CB041427, Charles Mooneyham and Myra Mooneyham, property located at 120 Pierce Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
In this case, they have applied for the business tax receipt, so we're asking for next cutoff for compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until June 4th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041428, Mike O'Brien, property located at 129 Pierce Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
The inspector in this case is John Stinson. He advises that nothing's been done, and he requests that a fine of $75 per day be imposed to a maximum of $10,000.
Chair will entertain a motion to fine the respondent $75 a day, effective today, with a cap of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Ms. Himes.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion.
$10,000.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12, CB041431, is in compliance as of April 23rd, 2014. Case number 13, CB041432, is in compliance as of April 23rd, 2014. Case number CB041433 is in compliance as of April 23rd, 2014. Case number 15, CB041434, Jacqueline Richards, Hazel Cunningham, Nathaniel McGill, property located off of Garden Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Well, this property is a vacant lot. The we had those vacant lots with the debris and accumulated rubbish and garbage. The ones across the street all were taken care of. This one, they didn't do anything. We're asking for $50 per day fine to a maximum of $5,000. We're limiting the maximum just with the recognition of making sure the fine's collectible.
What's the maximum?
$5,000. Okay.
$50 a day?
$50 per day.
With a cap of five. Chair will entertain a motion. Fine and respondent, $50 a day, effective today, with a cap of $5,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Question. Any discussion?
Suppose they don't clean up the lot.
Then it'll accrue, and then we have to do something. We'll have to do something about it.
Clean up the lot. Can the city go out and find him?
Yes. I would expect that we can. I don't know the extent of what's all there, but we do have a program where we go and do lots. I don't know the size of this, and I don't know if the inspector could speak to that, but the conditions are such that, yeah, if it's bad enough, we'll clean it up and find the property. It'd have a different effect than our code lien if we find them that way. But, yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041436, Stephen Ferguson, property located at 324 Lincoln Street. Seeing the respondent is not present, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This property is a law enforcement problem. It's a inspector is asking for $100 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Chair will entertain a motion fine the respondent $100 a day effective today with a cap of $15,000. Any such motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed,
aye.
Same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB051446, Frank Lemoyne, property located at 475 Brentwood Drive. Respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This property is now in compliance, so we just want to make a finding of noncompliance, and primarily because this is one where it was complaint-driven. It took they did nothing for 3 months until...
It's in compliance?
But now it is now in compliance.
Was it not in compliance? Now in compliance?
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. I got a correction from the inspector. Apparently it's...
Okay.
So my notice not correct.
Typical noncompliance next cutoff.
It is a noncompliance next cutoff.
Chair will entertain a motion fine the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until June 4th, 2014 to bring the property in compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB051447, Harvey James Crane, Jr., Revocable Trust, care of Harvey J. Crane, trustee, property located at 187 Lee Street. Seeing no respondent here, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This one, we received a letter asking about a continuance, and typically we were not amenable to it, but I did notice a couple of things that just wanted to make sure we acknowledged. This property is before you for compliance or noncompliance,
mm-hmm.
and we're asking for next cutoff. If I'm remembering the letter, the person who... you can see they were first notified in February
mm-hmm.
of 2014, and a person, the trustee initially notified, has since deceased, and it's a new trustee, and that's what the notification was, telling us that he was a new trustee. Yeah.
I have the letter.
But yeah, that was basically that he's a new trustee, and that he was just made aware, and that he'd take care of the problem. So with that being said, it doesn't change the fact that we do have a noncompliance, so we're asking for a finding of noncompliance. And next cutoff, we sent some information informing that generally a continuance is not...
What was the date that they were looking for as far as the continuance? Just to make sure we don't give them until next month if they're asking for two in light of somebody passing.
Okay, it's not that very long. I'll read into record. This is in response to notice appearing I received the day relating to the above reference case. Please be advised that Harvey J. Crane, Jr., who was the former trustee, I'll read it here, Lord has died, and I am currently the current trustee of the property. And then he says further, I never received notice of your violation or any other notice of violation. I will be out of the country on May 8th, therefore unavailable to attend the hearing scheduled for the date. I respectfully request you reschedule that hearing until a time that I will be able to attend. We tried to notify him. He may have already been gone. We have not.
All right. Hopefully he won't be out more than a month. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah. This is just a broken window we're talking about?
I'm sorry. Yeah, that would be clarification necessary. It's from Eugene E. Rhodes, Jr., an attorney at law. So it's a attorney out of Port Orange.
So we're out of the country and
today.
We need more time to fix the window?
I think what he's really just saying is I won't be able to be here for this proceeding.
Okay, that's
and so
fine.
Can you continue?
But we can still find them in noncompliance. And
yes.
Okay.
Yes,
fine.
And that's what we would have notified him had we talked to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, any other discussion? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent till June 4th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance, to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Motion made by Ms. Himes. Second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bournes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 19 has been dealt with. Case number 20 has been dealt with. Case number 21, CB051450, is in compliance as of April 25th, 2014. Case number CB051451 is in compliance as of April 29th, 2014. Case number CB0514 is in compliance as of May 7th, 2014. Case number CB051454 is in compliance as of April 29th, 2014. Case number 23, CB051452, TRSTE, LLC, property located at 228 North Adams Street. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This property is inspected by Edward Lopez. The property is still in noncompliance. Nothing's been done. It's vacant property. The inspector is asking for a finding of noncompliance and give it to the next cutoff to come into compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent till June 4th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That exhausts our agenda. Any items for the good of the order from staff? Ms. Lucas? Ms. Himes? Mr. Bournes?
Nope.
Ms. Kundig?
Yes. I attended an uptown neighborhood meeting, and Michael Fitzgerald is the code officer over there now, and they say they have noticed a huge improvement, and they are very happy with their new code officer and that he is taking a hands-on approach and walking through the neighborhood, and they all know him, and they're very happy, and I just wanted to Say that.
Let's give Michael one of those free waters.
But he's not here today. So.
Let's give Mike one of those free waters. Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington? I have nothing. Mr. Sino? Seeing nothing. We are adjourned. See you next month.